Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
This is episode 157, Tom, top of the day.
Hello, 157. Mm. That's a good one.
It's not a bad number. It feels substantial.
Sure. It feels like a spooky number. Like there's something haunted about 157. It's close to 187.
Don't go in there.
No. A haunted room, perhaps.
What was the room that John Cusack was stuck in? I don't think it was that high. I watched that movie years and years ago.
Was it 13 or 17 or something?
Room 8 or?
I don't remember.
I don't remember either. It was okay. It was fine. I remember too much of it, except I was like, get the hell out. And he's like, I have gotten out, but I'm still in here. Oh, that's terrible. Ugh. That's really bad.
Hey, guess what?
What?
We are recording this pretty damn early in the day.
Yeah, we've got that issue where it's coming to the end of the year and suddenly everything has to happen.
Everyone wants us to come film stuff.
Yep.
Which is great. We're in a good position. Yeah. But, okay, let's do an early morning recording.
I love that both of us have had very little sleep, so this one is going to be interesting. Or else the most professional one we've ever done.
No, it's going to be quick.
Yes.
It's going to be quick. I've got a handful of news from a grab bag.
Perfect.
We're going to do an on-the-fly appreciation. Haven't worked out who. Let's stumble into
it
together.
To swing it.
Oh, no, wait. I shouldn't have mentioned that.
Why?
Because I normally stumble into it, but it sounds like I'm prepared.
Anyway, moving
on. So I've brought a bit of news in my grab bag. I've got a few things that I've watched.
I've got a quiz that I'm pretty sure we've done a version of, but not with these questions and answers.
We've done a cover version, but it wasn't recorded.
Yeah, that's right.
We're going to go back in and
It's a live one.
Fair.
Yeah, it's live.
Good.
Greetings, subscribers and members of the Watchersville latest newsletter. Finally, there's been some resolution to the standoff drama between the Rugs and Carpet Appreciation Society, the Lino Tile Gang, and the Cork and Floorboards Fan Club. Each group will have their own full 31-day month to celebrate their favourite types of flooring. The Convention Centre, however, is still refusing to block out 3 months of the year for celebrations that solely focus on indoor ground coverings. It is offering each club one full day to lay down their wares, fawn over it, enjoy walking across it, and getting over it. You may have noticed that most of our traffic lights now house birds' nests. It first started with the amber ones, which was fine because most people don't pay attention to that colour. Then more birds saw the benefit of a comfy little warm spot to raise their young, so red lights started to disappear from the vision of drivers. This wasn't too bad as we all learnt to stop if we couldn't see green. Now they have taken over the go light, which is making commuting through Watchersville rather dangerous. So until the little baby nestlings are able to fly and do big bird things, all intersections in Watchersville will be manned by traffic cops. Inspired by Homes Under the Hammer, Dylan Moffat has bought that street in the north of the town that's filled with derelict homes. He plans on flipping them all in the quickest and cheapest way possible. He said he doesn't need any help, thanks, as he's watched all the series of the TV show, so knows how to fix rotting ceilings, rat infestations, jungle front yards, and sinking foundations. He's anticipating the whole street will be up for rent in 6 weeks. That's it for now. Stay safe and happy, all residents of Watchersville. All right, well, let's get into the stories then.
All right, I found one that I think you'll be happy about. HBO have greenlit a Last of Us series.
Oh, so it has, because I heard that it was a thing that was hoping to get worked on.
Yep.
Ah, okay, fantastic.
I didn't really read too much about it because that's your bag, Last of Us. I don't know too much about it to give it the context, but I imagine it's going to probably follow the first game.
I would assume so, because those two characters are too entrenched and ingrained in that franchise for them not to have a Joel and Ellie.
Yeah, from what I understand, people preferred that relationship to the second game's
relationship. Yeah, they got quite angry about the second.
A little bit fired up.
Yeah.
Hey, I can't play this game while wearing my MAGA hat.
That's right.
Not fair.
That's cool because I also heard that at least when they were talking about it potentially being a thing, that Neil Druckmann, who wrote The Last of Us games, was also going to be involved in writing the show.
Sure.
So that's good. You've got that key original storytelling mode.
Yeah. And look, I think it will be interesting to see when The Stand comes out because The Stand series is very soon. It's going to be very interesting to see what everyone's stomach for post-pandemic fiction is like. Walking Dead obviously is a little bit different. It's been running for a long, long time.
Exactly. It's entrenched.
Yeah, but a new pandemic or you know, apocalypse-related.
Yeah, that's interesting. And they're all coming from slightly different angles because The Walking Dead, you don't know where the virus or whatever it is came from.
Yeah. The Stand, you know exactly where it came from.
It starts off telling you. And then the Last of Us, you know that it's spore-related. So two answers. So it's all different. But, yeah, that sort of oppressive, oh, my gosh, everything is terrible in this world thing, it might be a bit difficult.
Do you think that they might – well, should they get – what's his name? John Krasinski in on a bit of advice on how to do clickers?
I think that would be a really good idea.
Because it's all that sound.
Yeah.
Soundscaping.
So we'll be going from the walkers to the clickers.
Mm.
You know, I follow the guy that did the sound design for The Last of Us. I don't know about the first one, but the second one.
Mm.
And just after the game was released, he was putting into detail, explaining where he got particular sounds from, how he created them. It was really cool. It's just on his Twitter feed.
That's cool.
Yeah. Just he's like, oh, yeah, this zombie thing explodes and these are all the different things that I got to create that sound. I was like,
Nice.
Hit that steak.
Punch it.
Yeah.
More ticklish than Elmo. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
I saw that, I think we were talking about it maybe last week, that the Fresh Prince reunion was happening.
Yeah, I watched it.
And what'd you think?
Awesome.
Awesome, yeah, because I saw that Alfonso was, he was interviewed, I think it was Hollywood Reporter, and he was kind of saying, oh, if there could be a second reunion, I'd be part of it. It sounded like they really enjoyed themselves.
Look, it was good seeing the OG crew, obviously Uncle Phil no longer with us, RIP, yeah. And they had the second Aunt Viv, and then there was a very raw sit-down between Will and OG Aunt Viv.
How did that go?
That was kind of difficult to watch.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Like,
No holds barred.
They haven't spoken to each other in 27 years.
Right.
And they sit down and they've said some shit about one another in the press over the years. And she clearly holds him responsible for the trajectory her career took.
Mm.
And she lets him know that in this sit down. And there's stuff that she says that he clearly had no view of when he was, you know, a 23-year-old kid or whatever, throwing his weight around on this show that had his name on the sign. But likewise, it sounds like she was going through some shit at the time outside the show and brought her shit to work.
This is a thing with, I guess, society and living in a society and being able to interact with people. Everybody's coming at stuff from different angles. And in that kind of thing, yeah, it would be very difficult for a 23-year-old guy who is the star, the rising star.
Not an actor. At that time,
yeah, that's
a
true.
Rapper.
Exactly, to understand that, you know, this woman, this actress who's been acting for years and years. I think she was a dancer as well. I think was having trouble at home.
She was pregnant and in an abusive relationship.
Yeah.
So her mind was elsewhere, and you know, there's been a lot of chatter that she thought that the show should have focused on her more, and they kind of talk about it in the show that. As they went on, they quickly discovered that the key relationships in the show were Phil and Will, Jazzy and Will, Carlton and Will. It was always bouncing off Will.
Mm.
And, you know, Viv and Phil were there to be the support network and a bounce. Mm. And she kind of expected more from the role because she didn't have that same comedic bounce with Will Smith. And so the writers didn't focus on Viv as much. And then she kind of became the boring authority figure. So it was interesting seeing all this, but she was like, she told him straight of what he'd done. And, you know, he called her difficult and she said, do you have any understanding of what that does to a dark-skinned African woman's career in Hollywood?
Wow.
She's like, you put me on a list. I never got off the list. You put me on that list. And you're like, wow. And you can see Will reeling from some of this.
Because, I mean, his persona is good guy, fun,
friendly,
able to do Siri.
Happy.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm. And so, I don't know, a bit of, you see him, I won't say remorseful, but he's clearly understanding a bit more about what it is. They apologize to each other.
Mm.
And then he, you know, that was filmed the day before the reunion. And then he says to everyone at the reunion, she was willing to meet with you all now if you're open to. And they're all like, yes, we'd love to.
Oh, really?
And they're like, we didn't know any of this. It's just, you know, she says she got fired. Other people say she got booted. It was that she left of her own accord, all this sort of stuff.
Mm.
They never saw her again. She just disappeared from everyone's life.
Jeez.
So it's a very cool moment of seeing them all come back together.
Wow.
Jazzy is cooler than ever. And they did, you can hear me getting a bit choked up. Mm. They did a beautiful tribute to Uncle Phil.
Awesome.
That left them all crying.
Was it a mixture of them talking and a montage kind of thing? Or like, how did
it? Was
they...
a little bit of, so they were all on a recreation of the set. And they were all sitting on the couch. And there was where the studio audience would have been. They had a big projector screen set up, and so they would turn and watch things there. So they watched this montage. They talked a little bit. There were interviews with each of them individually where they maybe threw in a line or two, but it was always talking about what they had learned from him or things. And so the montage was a cool mix of, you know, the Uncle Phil moments from the show plus behind-the-scenes stuff.
Mm.
And, yeah, what a dude.
That sounds really cool. It was interesting you mentioned where the audience would sit, because Alfonso talked about basically the decline of sitcoms, how, you know, I think they would have started in, what, the 50s, 60s, like with I Love Lucy, and 80s they were huge, and into the 90s, and you would have that audience to bounce off. And he was talking about the fact that it would take 90 minutes to film a Fresh Prince episode, and you know, you would do a couple of takes, but you still, in his mind, and I assume a lot of sitcom actors, they were acting as if they were live on stage.
Yep.
And that's where the energy comes from. And it's not really a thing anymore.
No, well, look, they talk about that in the episode as well.
Sure.
And they show some of the footage of how, you know, before episodes, Will would come out and treat it like a concert. And he would rap for the audience and go out and you know, crowd surf in the audience or whatever and get everyone hyped.
Yeah, right.
And keep that energy up. And they treated it like you were going to see live music. And that's, yeah, it's really not a thing anymore.
Yeah.
I think you can lay a lot of that blame at The Office for creating the single cam comedy.
Yeah.
Because,
yep.
You know, before then it was always filmed in front of a live audience.
Yeah, every time. That's interesting, and I think it's probably not going to be a thing for a long time, simply because now you wouldn't be able to have that audience.
No, well, the ABC is still going to do it, and you know, there's ways around it, but that way that it used to be of cram as many people in and get the, light up the applause sign. Nah,
it's a thing of the past.
So this probably won't mean too much to you, but Captain Jack Harkness, who is played by John Barrowman, who might be like a QBE or something like that. I don't know. But a wonderful English actor. Is he Welsh? But he speaks with an American accent.
Anyway. It's hard to tell. Yeah.
Yes. So he plays the pansexual Captain Jack Harkness, who is the head of Torchwood and all this sort of stuff. Very convoluted presence in the Doctor Who universe and can die but always regenerates. Different way to the Doctor. He was a big part of the Eccleston and especially the Tennant period, 10th Doctor period, back in the day. And he's done lots of Torchwood and audio Doctor Who things since then, but he hasn't been on screen, but he keeps saying that he's there for the Doctor. Well, they've announced just this morning that he is going to be involved in this year's Doctor Who Christmas special.
Oh, fun.
Which is awesome. I don't know whether that's a very small role. He has popped up and cameoed at different points in the past. Yeah, hooray.
Yeah, that's good because the Doctor Who Christmas special is a thing.
It is a thing.
Yeah.
And it's always a bit of fun. And I haven't kept up with Doctor Who over the last few years in the same way that I used to, but I do still like the holiday specials.
Yeah, you got to keep an eye on those. Jamie Lawson, so she's going to be playing the mayoral candidate Bella Reel in the upcoming The Batman movie. So I went on to her.
And vengeance.
I went onto her IMDb page. She's got two things.
Mm.
She's got The Batman and another indie film upcoming. She graduated from New York's Juilliard School last year. She's landed in The Batman, and she was kind of asked, you know, what it feels like landing such a huge movie straight out of school. She's like, I feel like I'm faking it. She said, I feel like I'm bluffing every day and that someone's going to realize. And I wondered if how often that happens, because I feel like it happens in other industries as well. But actors, you kind of think that they've got that level of confidence, and some, like, you know, Will Smith a bit, like that ego that would drive them into going, I belong here. Mm-hmm. I belong here. But, yeah, there would be people who would go, I don't know how I got here. I'm just going to have to try and do my best every day. And hopefully eventually somewhere along the way they kind of go, oh, no, I am holding my own. But I reckon I'd be like her. I'd be like, oh, gosh, I'm just going to show up on set. I'm going to fake it. So they're still talking about how this movie is going to be released 2022, March sort of time.
Right.
We'll see how it goes, because it's been stopped a couple of times.
Yeah, but they've got an awful long time.
It is a long time. I realise we're in 2020 still.
It's this weird thing at the moment where I think some of this stuff that feels like...
Do you think we're more hyper aware of the fact that when things are coming out, when usually we'd just be like, oh, that's coming out in a month?
Yes, because normally we'd have so much stuff buffering between then and there, and it's like, it's nice that it's coming, but everything keeps getting pushed back and back and back, so I definitely think we're more mindful. The reason why I feel pretty secure that it'll be all right is that there's less things being produced at the moment, which means if they need to take longer, then most people are free for longer.
Oh, yeah, yep.
Do you know what I mean? There's not quite as many film shoots happening, and editors aren't needed on as many projects, and there's this sort of thing. Scheduling.
Oh, I thought you were going to do the Batman voice again.
Schedule. kind of a bummer story.
Oh.
Well, it's for one person, but and you'd think this happened more, but a man died shortly after completing the Wipeout course.
Oh, no.
Yes, doing American Wipeout, which is hosted by John Cena and Nicole Byer.
Yeah.
And, he had cardiac arrest afterwards. Now, it wasn't just some random thing. You go undergo proper medical testing and stuff before you're allowed to do the course. Mm-hmm. They check that everything's above board.
That makes sense, yeah.
But, I hadn't heard too much since then other than poor guy.
Yeah, that sounds pretty shocking for him.
And it makes you wonder, like,
and for everybody there,
was he just a bit fat and it was a tough one, or did he get punched by an oversized boxing glove into the water very far?
It could easily be any of that. And then also you hear about people who, I don't know, have been playing soccer for years and then suddenly just fall down.
Yep. So,
and they're fit and whatever. So
I'm not pointing any fingers. And like, as I say, it is sad that someone died.
Yeah.
But like, at least it wasn't Takeshi's Castle, because that would fuck you up if you died and like got driven over by an inflatable tank or ran headfirst at what you thought was an open castle door but was not.
Yeah. Have you played that Fall Guys game?
No, but because I've watched
They've got that level pretty much, or course. What would you call it? Obstacle. Yeah. And big girl Chloe, big girl, just almost 1.5, she loves that bit.
Yeah.
She thinks she's playing. You give her an old PlayStation controller, and she thinks she's playing and that focused. So I kind of want to make her watch Takeshi's Castle now to see the real thing.
So this dude's funeral would be a bummer, right?
It'd be a huge bummer.
Did they bury him in swimmers? Did he die doing what he loved?
Like, do they get Nicole Byer there to do the eulogy but ask her not to crack any jokes?
Do they not have coffin like pallbearers, but they just like slip and slide it out the church? It's early. I told you it's early. I'm not as sharp as usual.
These
dark.
Are the questions that keep us awake at night. That's okay. Yeah.
Yep.
That's a story. My last story is, did you see that Mr. Freddy Krueger himself, a.k.a.
Robert Edlund.
Yes, Robert Edlund is going to be in Stranger Things season 4.
I did. That's very cool.
Now, what I thought was, I thought that was very cool, but what I thought was surprising was in my head they'd filmed all of season 4, but they clearly haven't. I think COVID was a thing that shut them down.
Sure. What, isn't it supposed to come out soon?
I thought so too.
I've seen trailers in there.
The trailer. Like, there are people from Game of Thrones in there.
Maybe it's no. Maybe they've already filmed their part a while ago and they just kept this info quiet. That's entirely possible.
Just
that
a bit of publicity. That makes more sense. So his character is a convicted murderer.
Of course.
Who's quite a disturbed and intimidating man who is imprisoned in a psychiatric hospital for gruesome murders or a murder in the 1950s. I suspect this is probably in Russia.
Yeah, I saw some other castings of the male things and it sounds like that's where Hopper is going to be locked up for a while or something.
Yeah, so...
Which would make sense with him also having filmed Black Widow.
Yes.
And he's...
God, I forgot he was in that.
Yes, he's the Red Guardian. He's a proper old Ruski. So he must have been learning some Russian.
He's been practicing.
I think so.
That's right.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/ We Are The Watchers.
Last news story for me. Dan Trachtenberg, who was the director of 10 Cloverfield Lane, he's a bit of a gun on the genre gear. He does some good stuff. Hollywood Reporter or Deadline, I can't remember which, but they outed something he's been working on. In that he's been working on a secret Predator film.
Oh, really?
For quite some time, as in 4 years.
So the last Predator movie was... not that long ago, right?
Yeah, 2018, I think it came out. That was directed by Shane Black.
Alfie Allen was in it, I remember.
Yes. And that one was dumb.
So he was working on his whilst that one.
Yes.
Wow, okay.
And being that it's so secretive and the stuff that he's done in the past, it wouldn't surprise me if this might be a bit of found footage.
Mm.
But on the other hand, it sounds like it could be, in fact, in the past, 1850s or something.
Or even earlier.
Yeah, there was something about, I think it was Cherokee or something like that, but a Native American woman goes feral to protect her tribe.
Yeah, right.
In there. So I think it would be amazing if there was a Predator film back in the day where we didn't have weaponry and it throws away its weaponry to make it a bit more fair.
Yeah.
You know, it is an invisible camouflage.
So fairness is, it's all in context.
Yeah.
Wow, that's really interesting.
Yes.
Mix it up. Don't just have the, let's get the guns. What does Arnie say? I can't remember.
Get the chopper.
That's right. I knew there was something.
If it bleeds, we can kill it.
Okay, I've heard enough news. I now think
get it
it's
out
time
of here
for
the Tom Appreciation segment. All right, so this one is a quick one, but we'll get through it. It's not a Tom I've watched, but it's a Tom I've read. There's a comic book writer named Tom King.
Mm-hmm.
He's worked on Batman for a few years. He's not on it at the moment, but he's also done these fantastic character study comic series that have been offshoots from the main line but done some weird stuff. So they've done – he did one of the Vision a few years ago, which I can see them taking bits and pieces for the WandaVision TV show.
Ah, right, yep.
But Vision essentially creates a wife, two kids and a dog for himself and tries to recreate a suburban life and it goes horribly fucking wrong. Anyway, the reason why I'm bringing him up is issue 2 dropped last week of a story he's writing at the moment called Rorschach, which is not a sequel but kind of a continuation of the idea of Rorschach from Watchmen. He's the guy with the ink blot mask that moves around. Talks like... and the idea that he embodies. And it's one of the ballsiest things I've read in a while because essentially... So... Alan Moore is the guy who wrote Watchmen.
Mm-hmm.
And he also wrote V for Vendetta and League of Gentlemen and – sorry, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, a bunch of cool stuff. But he's also a crazy fucking hermit and he hates people and insists that his name is not put on any adaptation of his work. So none of the Watchmen properties he's received a dollar for, all this sort of stuff. He just hates everything.
Wow.
So
I hope he's getting paid.
He's not. And that's part of why he hates everyone so much, is that he created these Watchmen characters for DC. And part of the contract that he signed was that as long as they don't go out of print, then DC owns them. And it was at that time that the graphic novel came in, the collecting them in a book. Mm-hmm. So before that, that never happened. So once they were off the shelves, that other person would get the rights back to their character.
Sure, sure.
But DC made it so that this book has never gone out of print. Mm. And so they now control these characters that he created and he gets no money from. It's a whole thing. Tom King, ballsy bastard that he is, spoilers for Watchmen, which came out nearly 30 years ago. The TV show was nothing to do with this, and the movie of a few, like more than 10 years ago. Rorschach bites it in the end. So there's a new Rorschach in this comic that Tom King is writing for DC, who is an insane older comic book writer, angry about how his characters have been taken away. And
yeah,
so
right.
He's rebelling against the system.
Oh, wow, yeah.
So they've essentially mixed the characters of Rorschach with V for Vendetta, or V from V for Vendetta.
Yeah, yeah.
And cast someone who's still very alive. Alan Moore is alive. So it feels like the most epic troll. Like, I know it took me a lot of setup to get to the point
here.
Yeah,
but if you don't have the context, you're not going
to get it. You need
to
get the context behind the scenes of how this is some of the most epic trolling I've ever seen.
That's insane. That's incredible. I'm still caught up. I'm still caught on the fact that he doesn't want his name attached to anything.
He figures that the way he wrote it is perfect already.
Yeah.
And that any adaptation is a distillation of what his original intentions were. And, like, I get that.
Yeah,
he's a purist.
Yeah,
absolute purist.
Of course.
But he's also a fucking warlock and believes in crystals and all this. He's a fucking madman.
Yeah.
Just, you know, he clearly ingests a lot of acid and yells at animals while sitting outside a hunting lodge.
Yeah. Oh, that's weird. That's where I imagined him. In my head, he was right there.
Yeah, he's out hanging with badgers and moles and voles.
Yeah, I need to look into what a vole is. I didn't think it was a real thing until recently.
I don't
recently.
Know if it is. Yeah, it's got to be, isn't it? Isn't it a little garden?
Gnome. It's not a gnome.
Creature.
It's like digs holes?
Yeah.
We ain't got them in Australia.
We
so
don't.
I don't
we
know.
Don't. We got quokkas and quolls, but
do.
No voles.
No voles.
Anyway, so I know that's a bit of a tangential Tom appreciation thread.
It was good, though. It was a different one.
It was different and, yeah.
We got to mix it up. We got to – all Toms are not actors.
No.
So that's where I stand on that.
I'm glad that you've put your foot down and staked your claim.
I showed them.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
All right, let's get into some watching suggestions. Okay, so I spoke to you. I know, I mean, obviously I spoke to you, but I mentioned to you last week that I was watching something that had Tina Fey in one episode.
Yes.
Just one. And I had to wait till like episode 6 or something for it. It's the Amazon Prime show Modern Love, which are all different episodes. Every episode's completely different, different story, different actors. You had people like Anne Hathaway's in one. It's from, I believe, the New York Times.
Right.
And it would be an essay written by a person who about themselves or people they know. So
sounds
based
very
on true
New
stories.
York Times.
It's so it sounds very New York. And it's kind of, it reminds me a little bit of what the, from Sex and the City, where that show originally came from, which were articles or essays written by Candace Bushnell about herself. So each story was quite different and then they kind of molded it in. And this is what this kind of feels like. You go into an episode and you're like, right, what's going to happen this one? And some of them are wonderful and charming and cozy, and then others you just feel a little sad at the end, or others are quite funny. I enjoy it because the stakes for me to get involved in them, super low. I'm going to get 30, 40 minutes of an episode with these people, and then I'm never going to have to think or worry about them ever again. And you know, sometimes there are shows like that you just need.
Yeah.
Like, I'm, you know, I'm still at the same time being invested in The Mandalorian or, you know, other big weaving shows. But this one I can just sit down, watch it for half an hour and go, nice.
Nice.
So if you've got Amazon Prime, this one popped up on my recommended list pretty quickly and I went, oh, Tina Fey. They must have known because she's the person in the
sure
in the title. Yeah. The Anne Hathaway one, because I know Anne Hathaway can be quite jarring.
I got a lot of time for the Hath. She gets a lot of hate.
She does undeserved. Get a lot of hate.
And she's got damn Princess Diaries.
With, of course, the Queen. Was she the Queen? I can't remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was the Queen.
Yeah.
Yeah, Julie Andrews, I mean, I didn't say her name. But her episode's really interesting because at the beginning you're like, this feels a bit weird. And you slowly realise she's bipolar.
Right.
And she is portraying the two separate versions of herself and how that can hinder her life and for years. Like, and it's based on a real person. Like she, for years she's tried to hide her low side from the world, from her friends, from everyone. And then suddenly it just got to the point where she's like, I can't do this anymore. I just have to. And she confides in a friend from work and suddenly she realises she's okay. And you know, and goes and gets the help that she needs and everything. It's a really nice episode and I think she played it really respectfully. Yeah. And it was still funny. Like there were still funny bits in it. But that underlying storyline was really serious and important, I think, as well. Yeah, great. And Tina Fey was just an annoyed person. I loved it. She was in another episode. She's just annoyed. Just annoyed with her husband. What have you been watching?
Well, I also watched something on Amazon Prime, and I was that excited for it that I watched it at 12:01 Friday morning when it dropped.
Look out.
You know, I've been waiting to see that movie Palm Springs.
Yes, I saw that sitting there. I just didn't have time this weekend to watch it. Please tell me it's good.
It's good.
Brilliant.
Get into it. It is a very difficult movie to try and sum up and explain, but I will do my best.
Mm-hmm.
Andy Samberg is at a wedding in Palm Springs.
Mm-hmm.
He's not the main star of the film.
Oh, I thought he was.
Well, he is, but the film starts with following a bridesmaid.
Mm-hmm.
And the day goes kind of wrong for her and Andy Samberg sweeps in and bails her out and she kind of falls for him over the course of the day and they end up making out in the desert and then he gets shot by a bow and arrow and like screams to her not to follow. And he gets, like he's crawling away and crawls into a cave with a weird light. And he's like, don't follow me, don't follow me. And she comes to try and help. And then the film begins properly and she got sucked into his time loop.
And it's like Groundhog Day, yeah? Sort of?
Yes. Once they fall asleep, they wake back up at the beginning of the day.
Okay.
So it is kind of Groundhog Day rules, but not fully. And I won't go into it too much.
Sure.
But Groundhog Day is one person stuck in the loop forever, and this is more than one person.
Oh, okay.
And it gets kind of convoluted in a very good way. And I'm dancing around, and it's not silly like the Lonely Island movies, so it's not directed by them and stuff like that, not written. It's got their DNA throughout and this sort of stuff. But it was a lot sweeter than I expected.
Oh, okay.
So there is some definite that feel-goodness that comes through in the end of Groundhog Day. But in Groundhog Day, he becomes more nihilistic throughout the film as he comes to accept it. The reason why I loved this movie's setting is it legit feels like this is part two in the series. That the first movie of seeing Andy Samberg get stuck in it, try to escape and accept his fate, we've just skipped all that. Let's just start at the point where Bill Murray's already given up with suicide.
Yeah, right.
You know, and like that's where this starts. And so it's got such a weird nihilistic view for the first half of the film.
So you're kind of, as a viewer, trying to catch up with it or?
Yes, there's bits that don't feel right. There's you know, he's clearly gone through this a million times already. And by that, I don't mean like a million. I mean like he's probably done this a million times. The guy has no recollection of who he was before.
Oh, wow. Okay.
He has.
Wow.
This is like he's just detached, and he's slept with everyone at this wedding. He's killed people. Like he's done everything that life has got to offer, and there's nothing more for him.
Jeez.
And he's not smart enough to find a way out.
Wow, that's really interesting. Because I did hear chatter around that people had enjoyed it when it came out. Because I think it came out on HBO in the US. Hulu.
It was on Hulu. That's why we couldn't get it here.
That's right. That makes sense. When I saw it sitting there on Amazon, I was like, oh, okay.
I think it sold for the most that any film at Sundance has ever gone for.
That's amazing.
Yes. And like, beautiful film. And I'm really disappointed that it couldn't get a cinema release this year and stuff. Like, I know it went straight to Hulu, but
yeah.
I think in better circumstances, it would have been really well received and done pretty well. But yeah, if you haven't seen, if you're in the States, check it out on Hulu. If you're here in Australia, it popped up for free on Amazon Prime. Well worth your time.
I do want to see it. It seems to me like something that I would enjoy.
It is. It's very indie. It's small budget, but what they do have to use with the budget is great. And J.K. Simmons is in there.
Oh, really?
Being angry.
Oh, that's,
I mean, that's what you get him for.
Yeah, that's right.
Bring me pictures of Spider-Man. But yeah,
cool,
good fun. Palm Springs.
I'm glad you watched that. Mm. So I am slowly catching up on the Below Deck season, the Mediterranean one, which was the last proper season that they made before COVID hit.
Okay, sure. I have been seeing new episodes pop up on iTunes and wondering, where do they come from?
One. So this is the one with Captain...
Can I,
yes.
Cruise ships aren't a thing anymore, are they?
I don't think so.
Can we just agree?
I'm pretty sure that's not a thing.
Not a thing anymore.
They can't be, right?
My mum keeps talking about wanting to go on a cruise ship. I'm like, yo, let it go.
Well, the only problem is these... Okay, so what I think is... I think these super yachts could potentially still do stuff because they could act as a bubble. But they wouldn't be able to – the turnaround wouldn't be worth it. Because
because they keep pulling into a port. Everyone gets off, mingles, comes back on.
Yeah, so yeah. So it's not a
thing. Anyway, we're not going to solve that issue right now. I shouldn't be focusing on that. All I was asking is, can they still be making stuff now?
I'm not sure. I would love it, obviously.
Could they not get a new job working at Lindsay Lohan's failed nightclub beach resort in Greece?
Could they just do New Zealand? It's not.
Sure.
Just go around New Zealand a few times.
Below Dick.
Yeah. That's right.
How is that not a thing
it
yet?
It should be a thing. But this season has just been insane. I've lost count of how many people have been sacked.
Really?
Yeah.
Everyone's getting the flick.
And one is a huge person who has been on these shows. I think this person has been on every single Mediterranean version.
All right. What did they get fired for?
For having weed and Valium on deck. Big no-nos, apparently. Yeah. But if you Sleepy do follow time. This person on Instagram, they're okay now.
Oh, yeah?
They have moved on 100%.
They've got other opportunities lined up? Nightclub appearances?
No, quite different, actually. They've started a family.
Huh.
So clearly they're not going to be in yachting in that capacity anymore anyway. Oh, so
they'd still be enjoying the weed and the Valium.
Oh, yeah.
With a kid.
Yeah, so this show is so bingeable because you're like... There are fights between the crew and each time new people come on, like new customers, what do I call them? Guests? Whatever. Charter guests, that's what they're called. You're like, are these people crazy? And usually the answer is yes. Sometimes you get a group where you're like, they were really nice. I suspect that's what the majority of real charter guests are like, but some of them are off the planet and that's what I'm there for.
Nice.
Good, easy fun. What else have you watched?
So I mentioned, I think last week or the week before, that there was a new documentary series coming to Disney Plus called Marvel 616.
Yes.
So I've decided that I'm going to savor these because they're very specific documentaries and stuff. And there is one about a Japanese Spider-Man, which I'm very amped for. But I actually jumped forward to episode 4, which was called like Lost Causes or Lost and Found, something along those lines. But it was Paul Scheer's episode.
Oh, yeah, you were talking about that he was going to do one.
Yeah, and he basically took the money that he was given to make a documentary and instead makes a mockumentary about trying to make a Disney Plus animated show. And he flies around.
I am there for this.
It's great.
This is, yeah.
It is really good. He goes around and speaks to a lot of different comic book writers from now about finding D or lower a list characters and trying to make them shine. And I can't believe they talked about a guy named Typeface. Typeface was a graphic designer who went mad, went evil, and he has perfectly designed letters on his face.
Beautiful.
Doesn't really have many powers, just typeface. they talk about characters that have no business ever being brought up again, and I was so pleased. But then they bring up to Paul Brute Force, who were a four-issue series in the late 80s. It was right at the peak when Marvel was doing like Star Wars comics, Transformers comics, mm-hmm. G.I. Joe. Basically, if you were a toy line, you came to Marvel and said, we've got these toys. We want to do a comic series with it.
Mm.
Great. A toy designer and I think animator or something came to Marvel instead and were like, I've got an idea for characters.
Mm.
Why don't we do the comic first and then let's do the toy line together and we can make the money rather than giving all the money to Mattel or whoever's making it. So. So Brute Force is a team of five cybernetically enhanced animal eco-activists.
Okay.
So you've got a bear in an ill-fitting crop-top suit with a bazooka or bearzooka. There is a dolphin named Dr. Echo.
Of course.
Who can turn into a motorbike.
Oh.
There's an eagle named Saw, a lion named Lionheart who goes invisible because... Of course.
Well, yeah, why wouldn't you?
And then a quip-firing kangaroo named Boomer, of course. And someone's like,
is it called different name now.
I know.
Like the meaning.
That someone's like, is it called Boomer because of Boomerang? And they're just like, I don't think so. And no one involved in the conversation was Australia to explain that a Boomer is a white kangaroo.
Yeah.
But it was just watching a couple of Americans be like, Boomer. What's Boomer? Is that Boomerang? I'm not sure.
I mean, you know, to their defense, that is a pretty good guess.
That's a good guess. Yeah. But Brute Force lasted four issues way back in the day. And as I say, they were eco-activist warriors and they went around saving the rainforest and this sort of stuff.
Beautiful. Is this before Captain Planet?
So much before.
Right.
And so... Kind of this mockumentary then pulls back a layer to reveal that it's about the idea of sometimes things are just before their time.
Mm.
Sometimes a turd is a turd. Yeah. Sometimes a turd just arrived at the wrong time and it actually opened the door. And it then goes in to show
right.
without this series that is a jokey footnote, you would not get your Captain Planets and all these other different stories that came further, Animorphs, various things that came along further down. It was kind of a nucleus for an idea that other people carried the flame with. So it was an interesting thing. And then, you know, he does get the budget to produce a two-minute pilot for what this show could be like. And they present at the end and they're like, hey, you know who'd do something really good with this material? Jon Favreau. So we're going to take this idea away from you.
Yeah, you're not having it anymore.
You're not involved. So thank you, Paul. We'll see what Jon, because he works really well with the CGI animals.
He's quite good at that kind of thing. It's his thing.
Thanks.
That's brilliant.
And it was so well done. And it was not as – the danger with that sort of thing where it's produced by Disney about Marvel all in-house is that it just turns into one big wanky love fest.
Yeah.
And it did not do that at all. It you know, it talked about some poorer treatments and it talked about, you know, the creator was – sorry, the guy who wrote the comic was very open about the fact that it was just a job that – pinged on his desk and he did for 4 months and then moved on. And he has no real...
There's no emotional attachment to it.
It's just, like, if you can do something cool with them, they're yours.
Yeah, right.
I didn't create them. I just gave them some backstory.
Yeah.
I'm not beholden to them. It'd be cool if something happens with them, but it's a robot dolphin. You get that, right?
Yeah. I understand where he's coming from. Sometimes things are, like creative things are your baby. And then other things you're like, I just...
Yep.
I didn't think it was that good anyway. You can do whatever you want with it.
So apart from the fact that it was a cool story and everything, and as I say, it wasn't as pro everything Marvel as I expected.
Mm.
It was refreshing to watch one of these, to watch a show like that where people weren't banging on constantly about the importance of the character.
Yep.
Oh,
yep.
Stan created Black Panther in 19, you know. Yeah. It wasn't that sort of thing. It was these are shit characters and they're nobody's favourites.
Yeah.
So maybe we could do something fun with them. But Marvel have over 8,000 characters. Let's celebrate some of the lesser known weird stuff that's out there.
It's a good idea. Yeah.
And it's like, you know.
I want to watch that now. That episode, I mean.
They could have easily gone to Howard the Duck and Squirrel Girl and stopped there. But they go so far down the rabbit hole of terrible characters. I loved it so much.
It's impressive, the people who would have done the research for that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, look, as I say, I strongly recommend this. I will watch more of them and let you know some how they go with some of the others. There's one that I think will be really interesting, which is about writing the Marvel method or the Marvel way, which was Stan Lee basically came up with this. Of he didn't want to sit down and write the comic book each month. So he'd come up with a bit of an idea and maybe a sentence about what each page might be, give that to the artists. They'd draw it all, and then he'd come back in with the speech balloons and write the actual issue in there. So that's known as the Marvel method.
Sure.
And it's ass backwards, and it makes no sense to any other writer. Can't wrap your head around doing that.
Yeah. That's just how that brain works.
Yep. So I think it's going to be a very interesting episode. Yeah, how do you step into that role and learn how to write that way?
I don't think I'd know.
A wise man once leant over and whispered in my ear, "We tweet, therefore we are." Profound and a little creepy. Follow The Watchers on Twitter at TheWatchersPod1. They aren't creepy, I promise.
So we've talked about some big things each. Mm-hmm. Let's just rapid fire the rest.
Okay, rapid fire.
I don't think we need to go too far into it. So Mando was great.
It was a great episode.
This jeans guy, he had his debut.
Yeah, that was brilliant. He's the coffee cup of the Star Wars world. I've got some questions that we can answer later. But why are there still so many Imperial troops around? Like, to me, I'm just like, okay.
It's only a handful of years after the Empire
it's
fell.
Not that long, but still, who's paying these blokes?
Sure.
Where are their wages coming from? I've got so many questions, but we can answer them
I
later.
I think we can answer that with like seeing what's happening in America that Trump clearly lost, but his followers are like, no, this is still a thing.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that's why the Empire is still going.
You have hit the nail on the head right there. That is spot on. Yes.
They're loyalists to the dictator.
They can't stop.
Yep.
They can't stop. Yeah, great episode. A lot of fun.
I enjoyed that. I don't know how much we'll see of Gina Carano again because she says some shit online.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. She doesn't like trans people and she's got issues with a few different things.
Okay.
And then she was like, hey, everyone, I'm going to head over to – what's that? Poster? Yeah, I'm going to head over to – is it called Poster? Yeah.
Right. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, which – which that's not Disney's bag.
See, I just thought you meant, oh, we're not going to see too much of her because it kind of felt like she was just going to hang out in that place for a while.
It feels like she's trying to self-cancel with woke culture. And like that's a clash, yeah, sure. But like Disney's pretty woke.
Yeah.
And you don't fuck with the mouse. So anyway, that's here.
Interesting.
I was going to put that in the news, but I didn't think it was.
Yeah, fair enough.
And then over on Walking Dead, we had two Walking Deads. Now, World Beyond has the finale next week.
Okay.
As a double episode.
Ooh.
Because this week was the finale of Fear.
Yes.
And it was pretty good.
I feel like Fear's gone by like that.
It has gone by very quickly.
So fast.
I watched Fear last night. I can't really remember what happened. I forgot to make notes.
Look, that happens sometimes.
I watched them together. They bled together a bit, the two walkings. I did quite enjoy World Beyond. We pulled back some layers. Let's get some answers on a few people.
Yes, I know one of the answers because it had been discussed online almost in the first couple of episodes. And I went, that makes sense, who that person's related to. With Fear, there was a funny little side note that I had. I saw that the two showrunners were interviewed by The Insider, I think. Yes. And they were asked, will we be seeing Madison in any sort of capacity, even a flashback? And they said, well, we didn't actually see her die. And I went, what? Because almost every single Twitter tweet, like any single tweet about Fear the Walking Dead, there's always someone in the comments saying, bring back Madison.
I feel like you and I could discuss this when you've watched the episode.
Okay.
Because I think they finally closed that loop.
Okay.
Alicia has a big, I want to go back to the stadium and check. And everyone goes, no.
It's not worth it.
You're holding on to something that's not there.
Yeah,
and that's kind of the theme of this episode is
letting go.
Not just letting go, but realizing that your bullheaded chasing of something that can't come back mm-hmm. will bring harm to those around you.
Sure.
So it happens kind of three times throughout the episode of different people. It was interesting. They play Strand against Morgan
yep.
with Alicia in the middle
yep.
of what to do about Virginia.
Hmm.
Strand wants to play it safe until he can get in close and stab her in the back. Morgan wants to bring the whole world down, get everyone out. And Alicia's in the middle like.
Can I go check my mum?
Yeah. She's like, I don't want to pick a side in this. I just want to survive, put my head down.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, it's interesting seeing Morgan and Strand kind of clash ideologies.
It's interesting also seeing Alicia be, I just want to survive, because she has often been quite hot-headed.
Yes.
As well. So, interesting. Okay.
She's got Charlie and
oh, yeah.
now Dakota, which is Virginia's younger sister.
Yep.
Laying it a bit thick on with the state names. But, she, you know, she's kind of got the little sister club. And so she's acting a bit more Madison-ly and motherly and protecting and stuff.
Mm.
I know, it was a pretty good episode. And that was the half-season finale.
Yeah, so we've got till the new year sometime. I can't remember. Is it February?
Normally February.
Yeah.
They give us a good break.
Which I'm always quite happy about.
Hey, speaking of break.
Yes.
We're going to have a break over Xmas. We've got some special kit planned.
We've got some special kit planned.
Stay tuned for the special kit. But
yes.
then afterwards, everyone, when everyone else has a bit of a breaky break over the Christmas, we might have a little bit of a breaky break too.
I'm going to do it as well.
Imagine
watching Whatever You Want.
What?
I know. I mean, I'm 100%.
I'm just going to watch Auntie Donna's Big Old House of Fun
just
again,
over and over
which
and over
I
again.
Did this week.
Okay. How many?
Five.
Okay. I finished it, you know.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I finished it.
What? Zachy.
It's
Zachy, what are you doing? I'm having a pot of prepackaged pudding.
Having a pudding.
I'm having a cheeky little pudding.
Apple pudding.
Apple
pudding.
Just one noodle. just one noodle. Who's been eating my?
His voice is amazing.
Isn't
I love
he?
It. Absolute.
Now come on now, boy.
Love it.
There's so many moments, like I know you've watched it, but there's so many moments where he does weird walks for no reason. No one's told him to. No one else is doing a weird walk, but it's just him
yes.
doing a bit of that.
I love it.
Or trying to get a high five and the rest leave him hanging. Or
I saw that bit where he walked off so he could be at the door. I was like, oh, that's the bit. And you're 100% right that I could watch them all again quite easily. Probably not five times.
I watched
times,
them Sunday night,
and
I want to watch them again now.
Yeah, fair enough. Great. Yeah, great.
his voice is crazy because it's a normal voice, but he can do a good deep
voice.
Yeah,
he can.
But then they pitch his voice down or mess with his voice. Not the other two.
No, they don't, do they?
No. The other thing, I don't know if you caught this,
yeah.
but throughout the whole thing, anytime Mark, the
yeah.
beardy guy, opens the door, Broden's voice goes, creak.
Yeah.
Creaky door. Creak. Only for Mark. I don't know why. It's something from their podcast that I haven't heard.
Okay. But also, I feel like those kind of things, I don't need context.
No, it's just
weird. Make it random
just
and I'm
weird.
Happy with
Tiny
that.
Tiny little man.
So, yes, we will be having a break, but you will still be getting episodes. We've got we've got the movie quiz special coming
yes.
back. We've got a lot of carryover champions and a couple of new people.
Mm.
Well, new people, you know them. They just weren't there for the quiz last time.
Sure.
Yeah. You know them.
I know them.
Listeners
know them.
Oh, I don't want to say too much about the other thing we're involved
don't,
in.
Don't. No,
in.
No. Hush.
And we're doing some sort of Christmas thing as well.
I'm going to go scream into a void.
Oh, that sounds exciting.
Mm.
All right. So that's all coming up. And let's quiz it up.
Quiz it up. Bop, 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 bop. Quiz it down.
Down, 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 down. See what I've done there?
My goodness.
It's so special. This is called Celebrity Real Names. I'm 100% sure we've done this before.
Hmm. All right.
Let's see how you go. Not all of them are actors. No, all of them except for one are actors. Mark Sinclair. Which actor is that? I'll give you clues until you get it.
Was a clue Nicole Byer? Because he just.
Oh, sorry.
Where's?
I don't know how I do. We mentioned it before. Mm. Okay, so this actor has a bald head, likes to drive fast cars.
Vin Diesel.
But yes. Yes.
Yeah.
My last clue was going to be favourite letter is X.
Mark Sinclair.
Mm,
I went to school with a guy named Heath Sinclair. Shout out to Heath Sinclair.
Hey, Heath Sinclair.
Mm.
Peter Gene Hernandez. This is a singer from
Bruno Mars.
Yes.
Was it?
Oh, that is good. You are so good.
Wow. I honestly did not know that at all.
I didn't know that either.
I just had a punt.
Oh, that's good. Thanks. I'm so impressed with that one. This one's a little bit easier. Julianne Smith. Julie Ann Smith. Actress. Academy Award winner. Serious actress.
Meryl Streep.
Oh, you're close. Bit younger. Red hair. Was in the Hunger Games. I think she was in charge of the last district they found, like that hidden one.
Tilda Swinton?
Now I can't think of anything she's been in. She changed her name from Julie Ann to Julianne.
Julianne Moore. Huh.
Yeah, her father's middle name was Moore and her mother's middle name was Ann, so she just slammed Julie Ann Moore into. You know, often they like these kind of name changes that you're like, what, it's not that big, is because somebody's already taken that name.
Yeah. Can't have two.
Yeah. There's no way you can have two. Eric Marlon Bishop.
Eric Marlon Bishop.
American.
Yeah.
It's going to be so easy. Used to go out with Katie Holmes.
Tom Cruise.
No, afterwards. Has been Ray Charles. Rather successful.
Oh, Jamie Foxx.
Mm. Eric Marlon Bishop.
Huh.
David McDonald. I believe he might be Scottish. You were talking about Doctor Who before. Mm. He was one.
David Tennant. In fact,
you said his name, yeah.
There you go.
Final one.
Mm.
Netta Lee Hirschlag, actress, is a fan of swans and prequels.
Natalie Portman.
That's right.
Nice.
Netta Lee Hirschlag.
I kind of knew that one. I knew
Netta. You were like, I know the name. Mm.
I remember hearing about that.
So, yeah, you did them all.
Nice. Thanks. That's a good quiz. I'm impressed I got that Bruno Mars one.
That one was ridiculous.
But I think it's because Bruno Mars is such a made-up name that it was low-hanging fruit. My next guess might have been Pitbull.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. 305.
Yeah, that's right. Mr. 305.
Well, right, baby.
John Legend's name is not John Legend. It's like John something. Like it's he's got a...
Chrissy Teigen just calls him bitch.
And he's fine with it.
He's totally fine.
She's so endearing. Teigen. Yeah, why would you ever get angry with her? Thus concludes the quiz, and thus concludes this episode of We Are the Watchers. Where's? And that's when he comes out and gives you a mix master or something.
Sure.
Yeah.
Thanks, Wes.
Congratulations.
Woo!
On that note, thank you very much.
Wes!